Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I'm talking about my romantic life on Mana Grambling Spiral. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
Recently, on Facebook, we got a message addressed to me, Heather B. Armstrong, an inquiry about how I felt about creating my business and career on the last name of the man that I am now no longer married to. Basically, do I regret having changed my name when I got married? The whole topic of the sacrifices that we make for the relationships in our life, a name being one of them. John didn't change his name because you, John, Jex.
No.
Jex is mine.
Jex is yours.
Jex is mine. You, John, did not have to change your last name because you were never married.
Right. And typically the man doesn't.
Right. Typically anyway. The man doesn't. Although I know several couples where the man has, they've taken both names. Like the man takes hers and she takes his, and so it's the same hyphenated last name.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that more frequently, actually, mm-hmm. which is kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, I think I like that idea. I didn't ever really want to get married. When I was in my early 20s, I thought that the Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they had this very long-lasting relationship, and they didn't get married. They didn't see the need to get married. I liked that model. I bought into that model, I guess, if you could frame it that way. But I needed health insurance and could get it.
That was your primary motivator? Wow.
I thought I was going to be with John, you know, I thought he was the one. I was going to be with him for the rest of my life. And it was like, well, fine, let's get married. I really need the health insurance because I was going through a little bit of a health crisis. And so we eloped. He lost his job a month later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I was very much in love with him. I will never, ever say that I wasn't. I knew it was important to him that I take his last name. There's a lot of history there that with his father and his relationship with his father and the name Armstrong. And so I wanted to show him as an act of love and my love for him that I would change my last name. And that's why I did. So I changed it from Heather B. Hamilton to Heather B. Armstrong and have created a career, a successful career with that last name. And have not changed it back to Hamilton because of the career. And for a while I thought, oh, you know, I should keep it to, because it's the last name of my children. And that somehow I had convinced myself that somehow having the last name of my children made my relationship with them more meaningful. But upon further reflection, I really, really, really wish that I had never changed my name. And it's not because of the divorce, and it's not because of anything. It's when I was growing up, I was really insecure. Well, most kids are, but I was a very awkward, nerdy, insecure kid, and I fucking loved my name, like Heather Hamilton. I just did. I liked my name.
That's
also,
okay.
It's, you know, a Tony Award-winning musical now that everybody loves.
Well, there's that. Yes.
I live my life like I don't regret anything. Like I look at my marriage and yes, we got divorced, but I don't ever regret having gotten married or being with him or having children or having built a life that way. There are a few regrets in my life, and one of the biggest ones is changing my name. And I told the person this. I said, the adult Heather feels bad that she took Hamilton away from young Heather. I know that sounds really stupidly romantic, but yeah.
But if you had like that attachment to it, then it makes sense, whether it's romantic or not. I mean,
my dad tells the story that he wanted to name me Heather because he wanted to be able to stand out at dinner time when I would be outside playing, and he wanted to be able to say, "Come hither, Heather Hamilton."
Are you serious?
Yes, to call me
home.
That
is awesome.
Come hither, Heather Hamilton.
Did he ever?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah. And he would do it many times when, you know, we would just be with each other and he would jokingly say it. It was almost a term of endearment for me. He calls me Heather Feather, and then other times he would just say, "Come hither, Heather Hamilton." Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just processing that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think hearing like those things that people don't really think about or consider, like those things are now gone. Not the memory of them, but the possibility of them.
The possibility.
Because you changed it.
Because I changed it. Oh, wow. If I could just go back, like there are times when I yearn for that name. Because I made a name for myself as Heather Hamilton in high school, you know, Heather Hamilton, the valedictorian in high school, Heather Hamilton, you know, the woman who got the full scholarship, Heather Hamilton. I mean, there was a part of my life built on that name as well. Recently, my mother found some paperwork in some files that she was doing with her mother's stuff. My grandmother lived with my mom for 10 years, and my mom is still going and cleaning out stuff. My mom is she's of the first six children with the first man that my grandmother was married to, and then there are four children with the second man that she was married to. And my mother feels like her true last name, she feels like her mother almost took that away from her by sort of forcing her to be adopted by the second father. And she gets approached, because of Mormon genealogy, she gets approached quite often from people, it's the Boone, B-O-O-N-E, like she gets approached by people looking for family members linked in the Boone line when she technically is not a Boone. And my brother gets contacted as well from people in the Boone line looking for relatives. And it's like, you know, we blood-wise are not related.
So she took her stepfather's last name.
She did.
When he adopted her. Is that normal? Is that how it always works?
I don't.
Do you know?
I'm not sure how it works.
Interesting.
Yeah, all the six of the older ones took Lita had died by that point. Her sister Lita, who Lita is named after. But the five who were there, they all took Boone as a last name.
Huh. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that it was possible. I wonder if it's part of the adoption process, just a natural part of it.
I think we should probably talk to someone who's been an adoptive parent. Not that her father was a stand-up guy. Well, I'll say that. Not that her original father was a stand-up guy, but she feels as if there's some work, genealogy work, that hasn't been done through that lineage that she wants to explore.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing to be attached to.
A name?
A last name, a surname. It's just a strange thing to be attached to. When you say it, like, I really like my last name. I want to keep it. But then when you start to dig into it and realize how much it actually has to do with your identity, then it kind of shifts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not particularly attached to my last name.
You're not?
But, you know, it's not like I want to change it, but I'm not, you know, holding on to it tooth and nail.
Is it British?
It is, yes.
It is British.
It is.
Are you of British lineage?
I am from Cornwall, actually.
From
my great-grandfather was a miner.
From Cornwall. So your great-grandfather actually came from Cornwall?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, came from Cornwall and then was a minor and then went to Bible school and became a minister.
He went to Bible school?
He did.
Where?
Moody Bible Institute.
The Moody Bible, where is that?
That's a great question. I was actually going to Google that. This tells you how attached I am to the lineage.
Oh, wait.
Let's see here. Moody Bible Institute. I think it's either in Lower Michigan or Illinois. It is in Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
Tells you really how attached I am to...
It's right where you live.
To all of this. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, so my lineage is very Scottish, the Hamilton clan. And then you have the Armstrong clan. They were, it's probably a very incestuous marriage that I had. Very, very.
Yeah, don't ever
Scottish.
Trace that too far back. I guess my mom is from, I don't know, on that end, it's kind of mixed. It's like Greek and something else.
Really?
I don't remember. Yes.
Because you're so fair skinned and you're so blonde.
Yeah.
You're so fair skinned.
But it's somewhere, it was like, it was Greek and then somewhere like middle to northern Europe on her side. But hers was more diluted already. So I think it was just the fair skin kind of won out.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is that aspect, like I've seen, I can't remember what movie it is, but there was a store, I don't know, in London, and I was watching this movie and it comes up and it was like John Bray's. That's what it said. Like, that's kind of neat. That's my name. Not that John Bray is a super unique name, but it does. I mean, I've thought about tracing it just out of curiosity, but it's not necessarily an attachment to the name itself.
You thought about tracing your lineage?
My lineage.
Oh,
like,
your lineage.
To find out, yeah.
Dude, you got to take a trip out here, and all we have to do is just head up to Temple Square, and we could figure that shit out and like stat.
That'd be great.
Ancestry.com. That's not sponsored.
Could be though.
I would like to go get the blood work done to actually see how much of me is what.
How much of me is what?
Like it can tell you like you're 7% North African or 98% British Isles, that sort of thing. Right down to like the percentage wise. And I think a lot of people here have had that done because genealogy work is such an important part of Mormon culture.
Like to trace yourself back to the beginning of the Mormon religion?
Genealogy work here is, they call it genealogy work, and it's something that you actively do because you get baptized for people who died before the true church was restored to the earth.
Say that again.
And we have entered our Mormon lesson for this week.
You get baptized for the people who died.
Yes.
Before the Mormon church came to be.
Yeah. You get baptized for them and you also do temple work. So in order for you to achieve the highest level of heaven and achieve your eternal salvation, there's temple work that you have to do. There's covenants that you have to make with God. And for people who lived on the earth before Joseph Smith restored the church to the earth, they didn't have a chance to accept the gospel and to make those covenants. So we do the work for them in their name in the temple. By proxy is what they call it. You're gone silent.
Does not make any sense to me. I'm just shaking my head, which doesn't do a lot of good on a podcast, but
oh my God.
That's interesting.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to take this call and hold on. I don't know who it is. Hold on one second.
Oh my God.
Hello? Hello?
I'm just going to fill in the silence.
Hello.
She's on the call.
I'm going to hang up
now.
We're
talking about...
I have no idea who that was, but it's an 801 number, and that's why I answered it.
Oh, local.
Yes, 801 Utah.
I kept everyone entertained while you were away.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We are talking about sacrifices that come with relationships, and that was a sacrifice.
Well, the reason that I took it was like, oh God, what if this is my kid? I don't have childcare today. Like, if it's my kid, I have nobody to call to go get it.
To go get it. Can you go get it?
I don't want to go get it.
I have that problem. This is very much a tangent, but I have probably 6 phone numbers for Lexton's school in my phone.
Yeah.
And every fucking time they call, it is a different number.
Exactly.
I don't know why, but I I'll answer it if I know it's them. Sometimes I do screen them. I know I've said that before. But when I don't know and I think it could be, I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, it's just a call I don't need to answer, but I never know.
More often than not, it's the lady at the front desk, Cindy, going, "It's Marlo." And me going, "Do I really have to come get her?
I don't want to get it.
I don't want to come get it."
Yeah. So what, she just gets like, in, I mean, does she go down there for every little thing?
Yes.
Or what happens?
She's like, "My stomach hurts, or my throat hurts, or I think I have a fever," or, you know, that sort of thing. She's has not done that much this year. Because there were a couple times last year when I was like, "Uh-uh, no, you're going back to class." And maybe she figured out that she couldn't totally manipulate me.
Lexton used to do that from time to time, mm-hmm, for really minor things. Or he'd come home with a note, you know, that he got a minor paper cut on his thumb and needed a Band-Aid. I'm like, "Oh my God, kid. Just seriously, just deal with it and move on.
Seriously, move on."
That's right. I try to be as tender as possible. Fucking suck it up.
That sort of leads me back to what we were talking about. I was talking with someone yesterday about, she was talking about how her husband, whenever he gets sick, it's the end of the world. And she's just like,
"Oh yeah, man cold."
Yeah, man cold. It's the end of the world. And she just doesn't want to have, she's like, he was one of those kids whose mother put a Band-Aid on his head if he, you know, if he had a fever, just to like, "Oh, here, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on your head to make you feel better." And I was like, yeah, sometimes if I go on more than one date with somebody, and I think that this is probably, I was talking with another person who's dating as well. I said, you kind of know the sacrifices that you have to make in relationships, and you can sometimes tell by the second or third date, like, I'm not going to make sacrifices for this person ever. Ever. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense.
Like, if this person ever got sick, I'd be like, "Ooh, God, no, But because you're going to have to sacrifice your time in a relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's, and I guess I hadn't thought of it as in terms of a sacrifice, but it's like, do I want to make time for this? Like, you know, we talk all the time that we're really busy, and we are, but when you want to make time for something, you make time for something. And then you think of that and you're like, okay, this person is fine. But do I really want to make time? Do I want to sacrifice other things for this to work? I don't even know that it would necessarily take a second or third date. Maybe a second. Maybe. I don't know. Just putting that out there. If this person gets sick, no thank you. That's, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I also look around at my space, my very tiny, tiny, tiny space, which, by the way, I wrote this post yesterday about going to Costco, and it was a bit of a rant about Costco. I just, you know, I looked around Costco and I realized I couldn't put anything in there in my house. It just wouldn't fit. I don't have space for 16 rolls of toilet paper. Oh my gosh. Some of the comments are just insane. People are just like, can't you write a post without saying all of those bad words? Only
people actually commented that?
Oh, yeah. There's several of those comments.
Aren't people used to, if I read a post that had zero, I would want to comment and ask if everything was okay. I mean, honestly, they're always there.
I don't know why I find it funny again, that it's like, oh, here we go again. Like, here's the people who have to come and comment and trash me again. Like, it's like, oh, they're still here. They're still here.
Just waiting for something.
To get angry at me about something. And I responded to one of them and I said, "Are you okay? Because I can give you my cell number and we can talk and I'll listen to you because you don't seem okay."
Did they respond? No.
They haven't responded back. No, not yet. But I was, the reason I've thought of that is I look at the smallness of the space that I live in, and I look at the rhythm of my kids and me. The rhythm of our day, the rhythm, this dance that we do to make it all work, and what the insertion of someone else would do to that. And it has given me pause, because it would change the dynamic so drastically. And I really like what I have got going on with my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're settled into something that's totally different. So to incorporate that is to sacrifice this whole new system that's been put together.
Yeah, I feel like I enjoy, like we've talked about this, the routine of the kids sort of keeps our lives in check and gives us the structure that we need to, you know, I've got to get this work done because I have to be out of the house by 2:30. And so we're way more productive with the rhythm that we have with our kids. You experience that too, right?
Oh yeah, all the time.
What that would look like inserting someone else's physical body into this. Yeah, I don't know. Since I feel so much better than I did just even 3 and 4 months ago, like I look at how we are now, and I look at the night at night when, you know, I put Marlo to bed and then I go and watch a television show with my daughter, and if like that alone time with her is so precious to me that it's almost not even worth exploring the idea of adding another person into this.
Well, I think it's just that adds such an extreme complication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not to say that there's not someone out there who wouldn't understand that and would be easy to integrate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an extra thing. It's not like it's just you living in an apartment and then another person comes in. It's bigger than that.
So the dynamic in the physical part of our lives would be different. And then it's also whatever that person has going on in their life as well. These two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. But then you have to look at it and say, I mean, if we're talking about sacrifices, like you don't want to sacrifice the routine that you have now. But are you sacrificing a relationship to maintain a routine? Like you're right. Sacrificing in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder even about myself, like that's, you know, kind of been my justification. Like things are good. I know the day to day. I know how it's going to go. Everything is kind of like clockwork in a very comforting way. But do I just find it comforting because it's easier? I mean, you know, there will never be a good time. It will never be easy. But am I just willing to sacrifice other things because this is easier?
Yeah, well, relationships are messy. Relationships can be great, but I don't know one single relationship that doesn't have its messes.
Yeah, well, mess isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I mean, it's people. That's just how people are. And attached to every person is a whole slew of other people, whether it's parents or siblings or past relationships or kids or whatever. And that makes it a mess.
It does make it a mess. There's also Lita is very protective of this unit that we have. She's very protective of the three of us. And if she knows that I'm going out, she's like, I can tell that she's a little uncomfortable sometimes. She might listen to this, so I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
Does she listen to the podcast?
I don't know if she does. I think this was way too boring for her. No. But like sometimes if I'm going to go on a date, I won't tell her that I'm going on a date. I just say that I'm going out is what I will say.
Just so she doesn't get anxious about it.
Yeah. There's no reason for her to get anxious about it, but she will. And I know that I can't take that anxiety away from her. At some point, when I do get into a relationship, and I will eventually get into a relationship. At some point, we will have to confront that dynamic and what that means and how much my devotion to her will never change.
Right, which is what, I mean, where that anxiety and fear is probably ultimately coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That if there's this addition of another person, then somehow I move down the list or I get a smaller piece.
Right.
Which makes total sense. I mean, I get it. And I don't think, you know, for you to not tell her, I don't think that's a big thing because she doesn't need to know about every one date.
Right.
And until, like you said, until it becomes something that's a little more.
I mean, it's so weird. I'm sorry, but she's like, you know, I just don't want to go into, well, okay, so you're going where, Mom? I'm going on a date. And where did you meet this person?
Right. Right.
I don't want to tell you where I met this person. I don't want to tell you where I met this person.
There's an app called Tinder. So how did you have, maybe we talked about this, but you had an initial conversation with her at one point, like, I'm going to start dating, didn't you? Or did you just gradually, what did you do?
So I I had been dating. I haven't ever said his name on this podcast, have I?
I don't think so. I think a lot of people who followed you know it, though.
Okay. So I can say his name. He was a part of my life. I was very much in love with him. He was a very meaningful part of my life. I was in a relationship with Matt for well over a year before I introduced him to my children.
But did they know about him before
they
that?
They knew of him about 6 months before I introduced him to them.
So like 6 months into your relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time they had any idea that you had started dating at all?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it was a very, you know, gentle conversation of, I am interested in this person and he makes me happy and he's a good person and this is not going to disrupt our lives. And, you know, it was a very gentle lead into the idea of this person.
And was it taken gently?
It was. Yeah, it was. Because I did it so slowly. So slowly. Because they were going through, you know, they were experiencing the dissolution of the unit. And so I did not want to add any more stress to that period of their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, and so that was like 4 years ago, four years ago.
Ish, yeah.
Okay. And I guess the only reason I ask that is I wonder how you would have approached it today. Like now that Lita is older, because I think I've had several conversations with friends where I think when the kids are older, you can't wait. I think it's important to wait for them to meet this person, but I think it's harder to wait for them to know that it's happening because they're more aware.
When I first got set up on Match.com, ugh, oh God, I'm sorry. Ew. Oh, I can't even say the word Match.com. Ugh.
You still prefer Tinder?
No. They're all awful. There were a couple of profiles on Match that were so hysterical that I couldn't help but share them with Lita because I knew that Lita would get it. I think we may have talked about this. There was a guy who was posing with skulls and he was doing headstands.
Oh, you actually might have sent me that one too.
Yeah. This crazy profile. I was like, Leah, you have to come see this. This person has sent me a message and I don't know what to think about life. I'm like, what is it about me that has attracted this person?
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius Podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I showed her, you know, like, here's some of the people who have sent me messages, because she found it very fascinating. The whole idea of like, this is how you meet people. And I'm like, well, listen, I am a single mother of two children. I work from home. There aren't many ways for me to meet men. I don't want to go to a bar. I don't want to go, you know, to a nightclub. I mean, so... According to my father, I'm just supposed to meet a lawyer or a doctor when I go on all these business trips, and then I would just be fine and set for the rest of my life.
That's what you're supposed to do?
That's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow, you should get on that.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Christy Turlington have a rich friend that she could introduce you to, Heather?
He did not say that. Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Dad, that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
Hey, Christy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it is, it's kind of out of the grasp of our kids. Like the why behind, like you said, like you don't want to go to a bar or a nightclub. You work from home. You don't go to church. Like there's not a lot of places to meet people once you're out of school.
Seriously, that's where my mom and my dad both met their spouses. Church.
Church? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Maybe I should go back to church.
So you should go to church.
Huh. But that the problem is that it would be a Mormon. It's kind of the deal breaker.
Well, could you go to a non-Mormon church?
I guess I don't believe in God. I guess, do you?
But you believe in relationships, so that is a sacrifice.
Like, do Unitarians believe in God?
I don't know, actually.
I should be much more aware of this, because I really do enjoy reading about different religions. But I know we're going off topic, but the whole dating in Utah thing is very weird, because a lot of these people, and I'm not going to say it's just men, because I'm sure a lot of women, there are a lot of hangups that they have about their Mormon upbringing, and they either haven't gotten over certain issues, or they're so fucked up from the upbringing that it's just weird. There is like this Mormon dank air in the smell in the air.
Or they're really, really interested in the outdoors. Like posing with a deer carcass.
Oh, man. It's like,
that's a pretty great dynamic.
Please don't ask me to go camping, please.
I don't even want to be asked to go camping, so I have pity for you there.
Yeah.
But you could go camping and then talk about Mormon upbringing.
We could. Or we could.
That would be a great date.
Oh, my God.
That would be a sacrifice. You'd have to make that. You'd have to make that decision that you're going to sleep in the woods.
We're going to clear. By the way, we're going to clear something up really quick. Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about this because I can, because this happened. And I went on a few dates with a guy here in Salt Lake who was actually in some bands that I used to go see down in Provo. Went at BYU back in those days. So he shared this history of like, he's really into music and he still plays in bands and he has the shared Mormon upbringing and he's from the South actually. So on Facebook, back when I joined in 2007, I was accepting friend requests, and then there got to be so many requests that I just was like, oh fuck it. I'm not even going to pay attention to that part anymore.
Okay.
And what Facebook did to me, and I have no control over this whatsoever. What Facebook now does is if anybody tries to friend me, it says this person is no longer accepting friend requests, which is not true. I just...
Like currently, if I tried to friend you, that's what it would say.
That's what it would say. I think that... Huh. Well, that's what people have told me it says. And so what I have to do is I have to go find the person and friend them in order for us to be friends. So there's some stuff going on Facebook that I have no control over. And because I'm a verified account on a personal account, some things are strange that I don't have control over or know what's going on. You aren't even on Facebook, are you?
I am not.
Okay.
It's like the only platform that I have not really used.
Jesus. Wow. That's incredible. That should be like your opening line. Like, seriously.
I don't have a Facebook page. Apparently, from what I hear, though, like, I'm kind of with the cool kids. Like, high schoolers, they don't really use Facebook.
No.
Hi, Coco.
I know Coco is just, someone is obviously walking across the street. I guess what you, and I don't know how this works. Someone got angry at me and pointed out that I was lying, and I wasn't lying, but I got out of a psychiatrist appointment and I had like 20 text messages from friends who had screenshotted my timeline where this person had tagged me as being in a relationship with him.
This guy you went on a few dates with?
Yeah.
Okay. How many is a few? Like less than six?
At that point, I don't even remember. Maybe let's say it was six. Let's say it was six dates.
How over how much time?
Over about 5 weeks.
Okay. So like once a week-ish.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He tagged me as being in a relationship. Now, apparently, that's the only way that that can happen is if both people agree to it happening, except that I never agreed to that happening. Like, there's it never alerted me to say such and such, so and so would like to tag you as in a relationship. Maybe it did, and I didn't see it in the 700,000 notifications that have come to my Facebook page. And maybe because I ignored it, they just assumed that I was okay with it. I have no clue, because I get out of my psychiatrist appointment and there are 20 text messages with screenshots of me being tagged in a relationship with this person. And all of my friends are like, who's this?
Oh, like they were just excited. Like, we didn't know.
We didn't know. Congratulations. This is amazing, Heather. Why didn't you tell us? And I was like, oh my God.
Because I didn't know I was in a relationship.
Oh my God.
Facebook's just trying to help.
So I left it. I left it there for a minute. I left it there for a hot minute because I was like, I'm just going to fuck with some people right now. I'm just going to leave it there for a minute. Like, let some people go absolutely crazy with this information.
Did you not respond to anybody?
Oh, I texted my friends back and I said, okay. They were like, well, who was it? I said to one person, I had just started my car and she's like, do you want to tell me about it? I said, after I drive my car into a tree, I will tell you about it.
So that status would show up for anyone who looked at your Facebook?
Yes.
Remember, I don't use Facebook, so I totally have no idea.
Yes.
And so that's very public.
Yes.
Awesome.
It was at the top of my timeline. Uh-huh.
So how did that work?
So I...
Did you get a hold of this person?
I untagged it. And then I was like, you tagged me as in a relationship. And he said, I sure did. And that's when I realized that he did not necessarily understand the nature of my business.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, I hate Facebook, honestly. I've never liked it. I've had accounts. I've never liked it. We've probably talked about this. But even outside of your business, I don't understand the need to do that.
The need to?
The need to go on there and say, I'm in a relationship. Like just, I don't understand the need to share that.
Right.
It's like the same thing. Like, look at my new shoes. Look at this thing I'm doing right now. Who gives a shit? Like if you're in a relationship, that's fine and you can be happy about it and you can tell the people that you're really close to. But why do you have to rush home and put it on Facebook?
I think it would make sense if your Facebook was just like you and your family and your like extended family and it's like close friends. Like if that's, you know, like how my mom uses Facebook. Like she's on there with all of her sisters and cousins and brothers. And like if she were to say, if something major had happened in her life, she would want to share it with them because that's all she uses Facebook for, is to communicate with family. I think that it would make sense there. But there's 26,000 subscribers to my page, which is not much, but I don't know 25,000 of those people, you know, personally.
Right. And I think like the way that your mom uses it, I think it's probably more generational. Like my dad is similar on Facebook, but for most people, I mean, almost everybody I talk to, they'll say, well, I've got this many friends on Facebook. I don't really like this person or this person. I just accepted because I knew him in high school. So like everybody has this pile of people on Facebook that are at best acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
I just, why? That's what I don't get.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, and especially if it had been like a month, I don't know, maybe wait. Even if you both considered it a relationship, that's still pretty early to broadcast it.
Well, like I said, and I don't want to broadcast it ever again. I don't.
Well, yes.
It's just, yeah. I have lived through that once and that's plenty. I have run that marathon. No need to do it again. And whoever I end up in a relationship with will have to come to be okay with the fact that I'm not going to do it and not take it personally. And the reason that I don't want to broadcast it really is because I don't want to live through it, but it's also in consideration of the person, because that person's life, every part of that person's life is going to be dissected, you know, and I don't want to
very publicly.
I don't want to do that to somebody that is close to me.
And that's what happened last time, right?
That's what happened last time. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're no longer dating this person. I'm just going to take a stab.
Oh, no. No, I actually did block him on Facebook. And
oh, really?
I blocked his phone number.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Was it okay until then? I mean, 5 dates, so like a month, that's
there were some signs, there were some glaring red flags, and that tagging me was, you know, just sort of not, it was a, what's worse than a red flag? Just a flaming, burning building.
Dumpster fire, I think, is the term we're using
okay.
this year.
Dumpster fire this year, okay.
Wow. So that was it, like you didn't even complete the conversation. It was just, did you tag me? I sure did. And you're like, hell no.
Hell no. I mean, we had a few conversations after that, and it went on for a little bit of texting back and forth. And yeah, it's, I am no longer seeing this person. I'm talking about my romantic life on Mana Grambling Spiral.
It's been a while. That was like episode 25-ish or so. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the moral of the story for the listeners is that if anyone wants to be in a relationship with you, they just have to tag you. So this apparently, could be awesome.
Apparently Facebook is letting that happen.
Facebook is trying to take over your dating life.
Then it said something to me the other day that said, if you would allow relationship statuses on your page, then you could share such and such and such. I was like, wait a minute. So if I'm not allowing relationship statuses, why did you let that happen, Facebook? I don't get it.
There's so many settings buried in Facebook. That was the primary reason that I ended up closing my accounts, because there's so many settings and ways that things can weasel in, and I just cannot stand that.
Uh-huh.
Like relationships.
Oh, man.
That's funny. I wish I...
Yeah, 20 people are with the same screenshot. What's going on, Heather? I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, I wish I knew. So is this like you can add this to your like first date conversation? Like, do not tag me in a relationship on Facebook. Just get that over with now. Don't tag me in a date or relationship, nothing.
Oh my God. Back when I was dating in Los Angeles before John, I think I was giving off an energy of, I mean, I was really, really, really happy and I loved living there and I loved my job. I was a really happy person. So happy to be out of the religion and to be making my own money. And I found it really difficult to stay single. And I don't want to say, I don't want to come off a certain way saying that. Like, I had so many dates. Oh my God. I think I was just putting off an energy that was attracting a certain element into my life, which was, I got to the point where I was like, so after we go on this date tonight, please don't call your mom. Okay? Don't call your mom and tell her about me. Please don't do that.
That's what you would tell people?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Because it would happen again and again and again, where I would go on the second date with this person and they would say, I called my mom and I told her about you.
After just one date?
Yes. Yes.
Well, maybe they just have a good relationship with their mom.
Maybe they do. I mean, I have a good relationship with my mom. Maybe I was just attracting that sort of energy into my life, you know?
Maybe it was just a really positive sign. You were really happy. You made them really happy. They had to tell mom.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. So telling Facebook is the new telling mom. That's what you're saying.
I guess so. Well, yeah, my mom's on Facebook. My mom would find out, or their mom would find out. Yeah.
Did your mom see it on Facebook?
She did not, because it was only up there for, I think, maybe like an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's long enough for like 10,000 people to see it,
though. It was long enough for 20 of my friends to send me the same screenshot. So.
Well, lesson learned. You just have to add that to the first date script and then.
Lesson learned. Yeah. Red flags are red flags. I was going to, you know, I don't tweet inspirational quotes very often.
No way.
But Maya Angelou once said, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time.
That is a good quote.
It is the fucking truth. Believe them the first time. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do, honestly. Like, I forgot about that quote, but it is really, because you always think, like, here's these three red flags, but maybe it's a fluke.
Right.
But it's really not. And maybe they won't be red flags for other people. It's not that this person is bad, but... if it's a red flag to you, then it will remain as such.
Mm-hmm.
If we close this with a Maya Angelou quote, then this will end up being a far more wholesome episode than any of the most recent ones.
I'm not even going to say the words. I'm not even going to bring up the words that we've been using in previous episodes, even though this would be a perfect episode for us to bring up those words. Holy God.
It really would have been.
If I even told half the story about this whole experience, there's so many details that I could share that I won't, but like that would be appropriate.
but instead we're going to go with Maya Angelou.
Instead, we're not even, you know, I've barely said fuck this episode. Seriously.
That's true. That might have been like
the second or third. Because I used all the fucks in that post about Costco, apparently. All of them.
Which was just terrible, by the way.
It was.
I come to your website for wholesome family entertainment.
So we veered into Heather's romantic life. Oh my God. Okay.
But it was all kind of sacrifice based.
It was sacrifice based.
Loosely. You sacrificed your Facebook privacy with this relationship, sort of, right?
Sort of, yeah. And going on that many dates and having, you know, that's when you really do start to wonder, like, I don't know. Like this, I've seen this red flag and this red flag and this red flag. My life with my kids right now is, I don't think I want to sacrifice what I got going for this. So.
And then, yeah, that's ultimately what you have to decide, or how you want to sacrifice, or what pieces you want to sacrifice.
Yeah, I'll say this: my 64-year-old trainer, who literally could pick up a semi truck and bench press it. She's tiny. She's like 5'2". She's in the most incredible shape. And she's like, listen, I have figured out the secret to life. Don't ever live with a man again, ever. You keep your house. I keep my house. We have great sex. And then you get to go home.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I don't ever have to clean up pee off the toilet seat. I don't ever have to worry about the toilet seat being left up. I've got my house, you've got yours. That's the secret to life.
That is one possible. Yes. It would be easier in some ways, I guess.
Mm-hmm. If I don't have room for like 16 rolls of toilet paper in my house, I don't know how I'm gonna fit a man in here.
So that's sit down on the first date, be like, you are actually larger than 16 rolls of toilet paper, so this is not gonna work out.
Yeah.
That would be a great icebreaker, though.
Okay.
But things change, you know.
Things change.
You could upsize again.
Yeah, things change, you know. People come into your life. Yeah.
When the right person comes in, then you realize it's worth the sacrifice, I think.
Right. When you know, you know.
Exactly.
And I have to apologize to Ryan because I'm in my winter coat and it's been making all this noise this whole time. And so... I apologize if he has to edit out the sounds of my winter jacket going on here.
And I'll apologize too, because it's been in the 80s this whole week.
God damn it.
So if there's like birds outside that are disruptive.
There were birds.
Some disruptive birds in the sunshine. It is. It's only 75 today.
Oh, seriously. You're such a dick.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
So if any of the listeners have sacrifice stories, which clearly these sacrifices can span many different areas of life.
Did you change your last name?
Right. Did you hyphenate it? Did your husband change his? Are you a guy who changed yours? There's so many options here. You can email us, as always, at stories@manicramblings.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings.
And until next time, when someone shows you their red flags, believe them the first time. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.